From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello everyone, I'm Michael Karasik, and this week we are reading Parshat Tetzaveh, Exodus 27:20 through 30:10, the second part of the two parasha section of the book of Exodus that gives the Israelites the instructions about how to build the tabernacle. And as promised last week, this is the second part of a more or less two-part podcast on what that thing is that they are building and what relationship it has to God. So I'm going to start reading now from the JPS translation at the top of page 1 of this week's handout, from Exodus 29:38. Now this is what you shall offer upon the altar. I left out all of that stuff. This is what you shall offer upon the altar, verse 42, at the entrance of the tent of meeting, Ohel Moed, before the Lord. For there I will meet with you, Ivaed, and there I will speak with you. And there I will meet, Ve'noadati, with the Israelites, and it shall be sanctified by my presence. I will sanctify the tent of meeting, the Ohel Moed, and the altar, and I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. I will abide among the Israelites, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I, the Lord, am their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might abide among them. I, the Lord, their God. I will abide, at the beginning of verse 45, Veshachanti, and in verse 46, that I might abide, Leshochni, from the root Shin Kaf Nun, that gives us the word Mishkan, the abode with a capital A, or the tabernacle. But this week we're going to focus a little bit more on this Yud Ayin Dalad root that gives us Moed, Ivaed, and Ve'noadati. Nachum Sarna, in his comment to I will meet with the Israelites in verse 43, says, see comment to 25:22, where the words are I will meet with you, but the Hebrew verb is the same, noadati. Hebrew noadati, says Sarna, derives from the root, from the stem, yud ayin dalad, to appoint, to come at the appointed time, to meet by appointment. By popular etymology, the similar sounding, although distinct, stems, by stem he means what I usually call on the podcast the three-letter root of the Semitic word, the distinct but similar sounding stem ayin vav dalad, which is at the base of edut, pact, was connected with it so that the two words often appear together in these texts. Now to Jeffrey Tige in the Jewish Study Bible, describing this section that I read to you, the divine presence in the sanctuary. The sanctuary will be ready to serve its various functions as the site of divine human communication, as a sanctuary, and as the locus of God's presence among the Israelites. In this climactic passage, all these functions are alluded to by the verbs, each occurring at least twice, from which the three main terms for the sanctuary in 25:8 that we described last week are derived, thereby explaining these terms. God will meet Ivaed, or Noadati, there with Moses and Israel, echoing tent of meeting. It will be sanctified, Nikdash, Kadesh, echoing Mikdash, sanctuary, and God will abide, Shachan, there, echoing abode, Mishkan, the three words in 25, 8, and 9 that we talked about last week. And he also points us to 25, 22 here. But he has this to say about Ve'no'adati, I will meet with the Israelites. Tige says, this statement is unexpected, since elsewhere God meets only with Moses. Seeming exceptions you can find out on the handout. He says they are not really exceptions. Perhaps the text originally read, I shall make myself known, not no'adati from Yud Ayin Dalet, but no'dati from Yud Dalet Ayin. This assumes that an ancient scribe accidentally reversed the order of two letters. Well, here is Rashi's comment on there I will meet with the Israelites. I will meet with them in speech, like a king who sets a place to speak with his subjects. Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, says on the phrase, it will be sanctified by my presence, the next phrase in the verse, for I will appear to the Israelites when the tabernacle is set up. And see Leviticus 8, where that in fact does happen. Well, here is prop in the Anchor Bible Commentary. It is unclear in the phrase, for there I will meet with you and there I will speak with you. It is unclear whether the referent is the tabernacle, the Mishkan, or the plaza, that's the wider area surrounding the Mishkan. For the Lord appearing to Israel at the tabernacle's doorway, see the verses on the handout, and in verse 43, there I will meet with the Israelites, Ve'no'adati. He translates it as, I will be meetable on the root Yud Ayin Dalet. He says, see note 225.22, which he also translated as, I will be meetable, but there he explains, or, quote, I will make myself available, and a bunch more of verse references. The space over the kaporet, that's the fancy cover of the ark, is the locus for the Lord's presence on earth. The choice of the verb venoadati, he's still commenting on it in 25:22, but it's the same word as in our verse. The choice of the verb venoadati creates numerous paranomastic overtones. First, the root Yud Ayin Dalet provides P, that's the priestly literature of the Torah, provides P's explanation for the tabernacle's other name, Ohel Moed, meeting tent. Second, the priestly contribution to the book of Exodus is framed by wordplay between Yud Ayin Dalet, meet, and Yud Dalet Ayin, know or experience or have a covenantal relationship. That's what it means to know someone in the biblical sense, is to be intimate with them, to have an intimate relationship with them. On knowledge as a theme in all sources of Exodus, says Prop, see the introduction to my commentary, but correct my careless misreading of 25:22, where he wrote in that introductory paragraph, if you have that volume on page 37, you need to correct it, that 25:22 was an example of no'dati, I will make myself known or be knowable. But really, of course, it's no'adati, I will make myself available or I will be meetable. Third, going on with his comment to 25:22, third, we must recognize the allusion to edut, testimony, the thing that is kept in the ark. Again, the punning is not gratuitous or decorative. It discloses P's understanding of the Lord's relationship with the profane world, otherwise too impure to coexist with his holiness. By the terms of the covenant, the Lord's presence is drawn to the testimony in meeting tent, that's the Ohel Moed in Prop's idiosyncratic translation, where an annual rite of purification over the Kaporet permits him and Israel to remain in physical and legal contact. See Leviticus 16 for the contents of that ritual, which today we call the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Well, we saw that in verse 42, God tells Moses, I will meet with you there. And verse 43, he says, I will meet with the Israelites there. And that seems to be something of a problem. Prop, quote unquote, solves it by translating those two verbs, which are really just different grammatical forms of the same word, iva'ed in 42 and ve'no'adati in 43. They mean exactly the same thing. But he translated the first one as I will be meetable. And here in verse 43, he translates I will be inquirable. That is, Israel may meet YHWH indirectly, ascertaining his will through the mediation of either Moses or Aaron. And he goes on to talk about, it shall be sanctified by my presence, ve-nikdash, third masculine singular. He translates, it/one, will be made holy. Ve'nikdash is ambiguous, perhaps deliberately. The ancient translations supply various subjects. The Septuagint, the Syriac, and the two Targums have I will be made holy. The Vulgate has the altar will be made holy. Targum Neofiti 1 has a paraphrase, I will be present in my name there for Israel's sons, and it, the name, will be made holy in the midst of my glory. Since none of these efforts inspires confidence, we must try to make sense of the Masoretic text, the traditional Hebrew text, which is also the Samaritan Torah here, Ve'nikdash. First, the point might be that anything is sanctified by YHWH's presence, Israel as a nation, each individual Israelite, or indeed any object. Or the referent could be the tabernacle, that's what Rashbam seems to think, or its doorway, a modern commentator says that. I incline, however, says Prop, toward Jerome's interpretation. Jerome, the translator of the Latin Vulgate, verses 38 through 42a, what I didn't read to you on the or put on the handout this week, are essentially a digression. Verses 42b and 43 return us to the altar whose holiness is the subject of verse 37. See also the following note. The following note, by my glory, the Lord's presence, YHWH's presence, he spells out the name, but Jews don't pronounce it these days, which descends upon the tabernacle in 40:34, culminates the sanctification process. If we suppose that 29:43 is speaking of the altar, then the reference may be specifically to Leviticus 9:23-24, where the glory appears to the people and sends forth fire to kindle the altar. So the big issue here in this paragraph and last week and more generally about this tabernacle sanctuary is how does it connect the creator of the world with humanity? Is it the locus of God's name, as Deuteronomy would think, and Rashi seemed to say in his comment last week? Is it the location where God actually is? This is still, of course, an issue that is confronting religious thinkers in our own day. How exactly is God connected to the planet that he is presumably beyond in some profound way because he created it? You can trace this on up past the medievals through Spinoza and the Baal Shem Tov, and then keep going on into our own day. But I'm going to go back to the 12th century for a final pair of comments from Abraham Ibn Ezra on verse 33 in chapter 29 of Exodus. There I will meet with the Israelites, Venoadati. This is an allusion to the place where prayers should be offered. Shall be sanctified by my presence, with a capital P. The tent shall be sanctified by my presence. It's the tent that's Venikdash, according to Ibn Ezra. Will be sanctified by my presence, which will be within it, as indeed Exodus 40 says. So is God somehow actually present inside the tent, as Ibn Ezra's second comment seems to say, and as those who believe that God is immanent in the world think? Or is this just a locus that somehow communicates with God beyond time and space, as Ibn Ezra's first comment seems to suggest, and as those who think that God is transcendent must believe? I'm sure not going to tell you. But I will be back next week with Parshat Ki Tisa. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying thank you for listening.